We want to talk about bonfires, the other hot topic, because a car park in East Belfast has been closed to the public by bonfire builders. The site, which is run by the City Council, is just off the Upper Newtownards Road at Ravenscroft Avenue. The Council removed pallets from land near the Cumber Greenway in March and agreed to store it for the bonfire builders. But a council committee decided not to return the wood, prompting those involved with the bonfire to start building a huge new pyre in the car park. Here's what one of the bonfire builders, Macaulay McKinney, told BBC Newsline's Mark Simpson last night.
We had an agreement with the council that they were going to store the pallets in a safe place, and now because the agreement was broke, we've just thought, well, they've let us down, so we'll let them down.
But is this the best place to build a bonfire? It's a public car park.
This bonfire's been here for many years, and the whole community like it here. It's not going to get moved. Nothing's going to come in the way or stop us from putting it here.
And what about the houses nearby if people are frightened of the flames?
The fire brigade will always be on standby. They were last year, so they're always there because they know like what the risks are, but we can't get the blame off it because the council had the agreement and it's part of our culture.
Well, there you hear it. It's all the council's fault. Ulster Unionist Councillor Jim Rogers is on the line. Basically, the fire service know the risks. The council have caused this problem. What do you think about that, Jim?
Good morning, Chris. Well, it's very, very easy to apportion blame, and I'm certainly not going to do that. But I've got to admit, yes, there was an agreement between officers of the council and those involved in this bonfire and one other that if they agreed to allow the council to lift the materials, they would be brought back well before the 11th of July. Now, I'm working very hard.
So just before you tell us what you're trying to do, what is actually happening then? Just explain this to us. You agreed to take this material away and then to deliver it back. Is that still happening?
Well, there's a number of meetings going on, Chris, and that they will continue. And myself and my three Ulster Unionist colleagues in East Belfast, namely Peter Johnston, Sonia Copeland, and Chris McGimsey, we have been engaging with people and we will continue to do so. Now, some people are not prepared to talk, some people are not prepared to listen, but we need a resolution to this because the amount of material on this site in Ravenscroft Avenue on the Cumber Greenway is much more than any time that I can remember since the bonfire went on to that site. But I just want to correct something that your contributor made last evening to Mark Simpson. The community are not, the majority of the community don't like the bonfire being on the Cumber Greenway on this particular car park. And the reason's quite simple. It's close to apartments, to housing, to a car wash, to a community centre, to a relatively new play group, play area.
So why are people putting up with it? Why are you putting up with it? Remove it.
Well, you can't. I've said this before and people have criticised me for it, but I'm going to repeat it. You have to consult with people.
Hang on, you just said the majority of people did not want this bonfire because it's close to homes, it's close to car washes, it's close to whatever. You said the majority of people don't. So is this a minority that are pushing their will on others on council property?
It is a minority.
And on council property?
We've seen this throughout Northern Ireland where the minority is trying to tell the majority what they want and what should happen. But you have to talk to people, and that's what we are continuing to do.
So what happens in a talks process? Is it the case that you basically have people who come together and the majority decides what is best for the community?
No, you need the give and take. And what I'm saying to the bonfire builders, there has to be give and take here. There's far too many pallets. There's too many other bits and pieces on this site, and the likelihood is that property could be seriously damaged and people put out of their homes. And I'm not prepared to stand by, and neither are my colleagues, to allow this to happen. But to go
so
in,
if you're not prepared to stand, if you're not prepared to stand by, does that mean you're going to do something? Are you going to get the council to remove this bonfire material?
I'm not going to disclose in the airwaves what I'm going to do other than generalise or what the council's likely to do. We have a responsibility as a council and I will ensure that we carry that out to the letter of the law. But what does concern me is that some of our chief officers have been subject to bullying by some elected representatives, and that has got to be condemned. And the Ulster Unionist Party are absolutely appalled at this. In 25 years on Belfast City Council, I don't ever recall this happening before. Officers do a brilliant job for Belfast, and we're not going to allow them to be threatened, to be intimidated by people who think they can do whatever they like. Mistakes have been made.
Do you want to explain what you mean there?
And officers will admit to mistakes being made. But we need to rally round. We need to get a positive message out that we're not prepared to allow bonfires. And I've said this before. I said it last year. I said it the year before. That we're not going to allow bonfires to be built and lit where there's a danger to life and property.
Jim, would you do me a favour, because I'm quite interested in some of what you have to say. Would you mind hanging on till just after the news at 10 o'clock and we'll continue that?
Chris.
But just briefly, you're talking about some councillors bullying. Are you prepared to say who?
No, I'm not going to name them, but we have a code of conduct as councillors and elected representatives, and I believe in trying to carry that out to the letter of the law. But I'm not going to tolerate, and I'm one of the longest serving councillors in Belfast, behaviour of this kind.
Okay.
And people who get on like that have no place to be either in a council, an assembly, or in parliament.
Okay, and we'll let you continue that thought in just a second. Your calls as well coming up. And we've been talking about bonfires because a public car park in East Belfast has basically been unofficially closed because bonfire builders have stuck their pallets in there. They've effectively taken it over. And Jim Rogers, the Ulster Unionist councillor, has been kind enough to stay on the line because we've been trying to explore a couple of things here. There certainly seems to have been a deal which you accepted between bonfire builders and Belfast City Council that they would take material away and store it for them.
Yeah. I wouldn't use the word deal. There was an agreement, as I understand it.
What's the difference between an agreement and a deal?
Well, there's a vast difference, but we'll not go into that. Let us move on. The Council Committee of Strategic Policy and Resources felt that this was wrong and it should never have happened and that elected members should have been consulted. Now, that may be the right road to go down, but there's occasions whenever officers have to take decisions without looking over their shoulder and saying to themselves, oh, will I go and talk to this councillor, that councillor, the other councillor?
Oh, so this agreement was basically so as the pallets weren't in public places, weren't getting in the way, these would be stored somewhere else to allow spaces to be freed up, essentially.
Yes, that is quite correct. And officers take decisions all the time without notifying us as elected members.
Okay, so this happened at this
operational matters.
And this happened at this site in East Belfast. Is that correct?
This happened on the site. That's correct.
And did it happen elsewhere as well?
It also happened in the centre of the city, close to Sandy Row. But what you've also got to remember.
So how many sites in total?
Sites in Northern
Ireland.
Well,
no, that's why I'm asking.
Belfast.
How many sites in Belfast was this agreed?
Well, I'm led to believe it was just two sites, the ones that I've just mentioned.
And where was all this material being stored?
Well, it's been well mentioned and rehearsed in the media, and I'm not going to go into that. I don't see any purpose in doing that this morning. My concern is trying to get this sorted out.
Yeah, no, but I think it's important. So basically, is it being stored in one council facility or is it being stored in a number of depots?
Again, Chris, I'm not going to allow you to draw me on that.
Why not?
We're only a short time away from the 11th night.
No, but I'm sorry. Why wouldn't you let me draw you on that?
Trying to get this sorted out without bullying or threatening, working with people as I've always done. I'm prepared as an elected representative to get my hands dirty, to get into these communities, which I do every day, get on the ground, not issue press statements. This is the third time this week that the Nolan programme has asked me to go on, and I accept it. I couldn't go on in the previous two, but there was other people on the airwaves, and that's fair enough. But I want to work on people's behalf to try and get this matter sorted out, rather than all this panic and the run-up to the 11th night.
Listen, Jim, the Protestant Unionist
community look forward to and want to enjoy.
And Jim, listen, we always appreciate you coming on, and I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm just trying to find out what this agreement was, because obviously if council facilities were being used, that is a matter that might concern a lot of ratepayers, and they will want to know exactly what is being done here. So I think it's a fair question to ask.
Chris, it is a fair question.
Was this across a number of...
I don't mind you pushing me or giving me a hard time. That's your job, and I'm willing to take that and trying to respond in a positive manner. There's lots of things happen in Belfast that cost the ratepayers money, which they don't know about, we don't know about, and sometimes
do you know of
the whole community.
Do you know then across how many depots, across how many sites this bonfire material is being stored in?
Well, I don't know exactly. There's been talk
is it several?
About two particular places, and I don't know whether that is right or wrong. And personally, I'm not interested. All I'm concerned about, I represent an area of East Belfast, and I've mentioned the three colleagues on the airwaves this morning. They represent an area. We're working here behind the scenes, and we're prepared to engage with these young people. And I would hope that some of them are listening this morning, and they say to us, yes, we're prepared to meet you. We're prepared to talk and try and get this sorted out. And that's the only way forward. There's no use me getting the Fire and Rescue Service, the council, the police and others to go in with a heavy hand, because that's going to make the situation even worse than what it is presently.
OK, well, let's talk to some callers as well. John's on the line from Belfast. Hiya, John.
Good morning. This question is to Jim Rogers. Last year, the council give the young bonfire builders permission to build their bonfire in that car park because the children's playground had been passed to be built. And it was, if they hadn't built it then, it was going to be put on a back burner and it could take a couple of years to build it. Now, the playground is for young children. The parents bring them in the pram and they enjoy themselves on it. So the bonfire builders decided, right, what we'll do is we'll take you up on the offer and we'll build it in the car park. Now, they came and they come to an agreement or whatever Jim Rogers wants to name it.
Yeah, we can't call it a deal, apparently, but it's an agreement.
They would remove the pallets and clean the area up and then bring them back. Now, there's low loaders... Scammer lorry trailer was brought in, the pallets were put on it and taken away to wherever they took them for safekeeping. That had to be paid for because that was a contractor come in to do that job. The police were there overseeing what was going on, so that there was ratepayers' money again being spent.
So what do you react to that, Jim?
My point is that Jim Rogers is on there talking about his councillors being threatened or whatever words he wants to use. The thing is that they promised the young people that they would bring these pallets back. They didn't. The young people went out and they got more wood for the fire and they spread it around so that it wouldn't be in one spot to be satellite before the 11th night.
OK, Jim, let's respond to that. Jim?
Well, John, you're more or less right, but there's one thing I have to correct you on. The council gave no permission last year for a bonfire on that site. No permission.
Could you argue that by removing the pallets, though, you have effectively given your own permission this year? Because what you've basically said is, listen, we'll take this away and bring it back. That is an indication that there's a permission there for the bonfires to be built.
Well, you could imply that, Chris, but I wouldn't totally agree with you. Furthermore, the councillors gave no permission to anybody. Council officers and staff were involved in talks with some of the young people involved in this site.
Got to say, there's some people that are not happy with that kind of conversation being had, though. John's in County Down. Hiya, John.
Hello.
You're speaking to Jim Rogers.
Yes, another thing I would just like to point out to Mr. Rogers is that he's run about there on the radio and his councillors this and his councillors that. See these young people that are building these bonfires? They'll be coming to the age very shortly where they will be going into the ballot stations to put mark their X against the name. And these people, these councillors who have done blasts at them, when they were young. Their names are going to be on these ballot papers, and they won't get the vote.
Okay, well, let's just go to... Sorry, John in Belfast jumped in there, but John in County Down, you wanted to speak to Jim Rogers too. How are you, John?
How you doing? Hi, Jim. Good morning. Mr. Rogers, did I hear you say that the council allowed, removed illegal dump, illegal waste from a public car park and then replaced it again? Or agreed to bring it back?
Well, council officers came to an agreement with those involved in two bonfires in Belfast that if they allowed them to arrange with a contractor to lift the material, it would be brought back again well before the 11th night.
Okay, John.
Now, the councillors didn't agree
okay,
to
okay,
this.
Okay,
we've been to this.
We have been through this. John, go ahead.
Basically, health and safety issues have been broken here by the council. What was in that waste? Do you know? Where was it stored? How was it stored? Who handled it?
Well, John, can I say respectfully to you, Belfast City Council, all their employees as well as contractors have to adhere to health and safety matters.
Well, in that case, when you bring the bonfire material,
I'm an educated man here, but listen, I'm not stupid either. You're talking a load of rubbish. You really are. You know, you're allowing the dumping of illegal waste on public property. Now, if I decided tomorrow morning I wanted to have a barbecue and feed the homeless on that public property, would I be allowed to do it? No, certainly would I not be.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not talking rubbish. What was taken away were pallets. That's important. There was no tires. The vast majority of items that were on the site and which are back there are all wooden pallets.
Do you take some responsibility for the building of this bonfire?
I can't believe this, man.
Hang on, John. Just are you taking some responsibility for the building of this bonfire? Because you seem to be accepting and acknowledging that you have given some implied permission for it to be built there. And we've already heard from the bonfire builder themselves that there are concerns from some buildings around the place. And even he indicated that the fire service were aware of risks. Are you taking some responsibility for the building of the bonfire at that car park now?
We as elected representatives have got to take responsibility. That's what we are elected to do. We are elected to serve and to make decisions, some which may be popular, some which may be unpopular. And I take my duties as a councillor on Belfast City Council extremely seriously.
Okay, so that sounds a bit like a yes. Carol is on the line from Lisburn. Hiya, Carol.
Hello, Chris. It's no wonder the English papers are calling some of the people here crackpots. When you listen to what's going on the radio, crackpots would be the word. I live near the Ballymacash bonfire. Last year, they started to build a new community centre, which is very nice, not opened yet, all glass. And we thought, at least there'll be no bonfire this year. But yes, they've built the bonfire right beside the new community centre, which I presume will get damaged. I don't know how much the community centre cost, but they've built it.
The argument for Jim in response to that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jim, but you were saying that actually building it in a car park might mean something's not built in a play park.
Yes, but I am not happy with the bonfire being built on that site at all. I've already alluded this morning what could be affected. I don't have to rehearse, but for Carol's benefit, if she didn't hear the earlier part of the programme, I'm sure you can go over it, Chris, exactly what my concerns are, where you have got older residents living there in apartments and flats. You've got houses with young families. You've got a car wash. You've got the existing walkway community centre. You've got a play area. You've got the car park and its surface. I am not at all in favour. And I was brought up on the Ravenscroft Avenue of East Belfast, and I love that district, and it's a very good place to live. But what I don't want to see is property being destroyed and people being injured. And actually, there's some clear that I, along with my Ulster Unionist colleagues, will do all that is possible to try and get a resolution to this.
I was going to say, Jim, there's some people supporting you as well. Andrew's in East Belfast. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, Chris. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
I attend the the churches in that area, Voice Church, and you know, we want to see the best for the area, and you know, we would have a good relationship with Whatway and so forth, and you know, it just I'm not against people celebrating their culture and having bonfires, but I think long term need to try and encourage specific places for them, not putting you know, the like of the church or the community centre or the play park at risk. And I certainly commend Councillor Rogers for trying to come to some kind of pragmatic solution.
Okay, and let's go to Norman and Bangor. How are you, Norman?
Morning, Chris. Chris, I worked in the haulage most of my life, and I find it hard to believe to remove 3,000 pallets, you need a 40-foot lorry, and you need a forklift truck, and we're told that nobody knows where these pallets are. I find that hard to believe. And as for removing bonfires and flags, the council are afraid to touch any of these, and so are the police, because they're afraid of the mobs coming onto the street. And that's the fact.
Well, Jim,
Rogers can't deny that.
Well, Norman, I can assure you, I'm not frightened of anybody. I am willing to talk to people, engage with people.
Him,
I certainly will not fall out with individuals. I want to see people enjoying the 11th night celebrations.
You did indicate that it was a real minority. You said the majority of people did not want this bonfire on this site.
Absolutely that
does indicate that a small number, Norman said a mob, maybe not use that word, but at the same time a small number are basically encouraging this bonfire to be there against the wills of the majority.
But Chris, we see this every single week in Northern Ireland and elsewhere, where a small number of people dictate to a large number, and sometimes, and I'm not saying that
anybody else
because they haven't, but people are frightened, and that's why we are elected to serve.
Frightened?
People come to me about a whole host
what are they frightened of?
Issues. Pardon?
What are they frightened of?
Well, they're just frightened that somebody could identify who they are and maybe come round and knock their door and threaten them or do even worse. And I can understand where people's coming from. And I am not frightened of anybody. I don't care how big they are, how small they are. I believe in behaving as a responsible public representative, and my record is there.
Okay, but hang on a sec. Hang on a sec. You are basically saying that part of the reason this bonfire can go ahead and remain on that site is because there's the danger of threats to people.
Is that the council's position? I don't want you to think that's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, it's extremely difficult to try and persuade these young people, and let me emphasise, these young people, not to go ahead with the bonfire on that site. Certainly looking, and I was there on Tuesday, the amount of pallets that has been gathered is the largest I've ever seen on that site, and they could not go ahead with a bonfire on that site. The police and fire and rescue service and the council will talk to them, will work with them, and tell them that if it goes beyond a certain height and width, there is a real danger to property. And I don't want any of the residents to go through what happened almost 2 years ago. It was just horrendous.
Well, okay, listen, Jim, listen, I really appreciate you coming on.
I know
you said I gave you a hard time at one stage, but we do appreciate you coming on, because
we will not fall out,
definitely. We should say that an investigation is currently underway into how the pallets became to be stored within a council facility. If you want to continue this discussion, you can go onto Twitter at Stephen Nolan is the handle for you to have all those kind of conversations, at Stephen Nolan on Twitter.